All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for Thy kindness. Lord, we're just so impressed with You and all that You can do for us and with us and in spite of us. And Father, we're just asking these requests because they are dear to our hearts and these people mean things to us. And Lord, we just ask that You give us the opportunity not only to pray for them, but maybe open our mouths about the truth and that they might receive the true gospel and be saved forevermore. Father, we're just grateful for Your Son, Jesus Christ. We're thankful that You offered Him up on the cross. And we're grateful that You sent Brother E.C. Moore to tell me about it. And I hope that over my life that I've been faithful telling others, Father, because we want people to be saved. And if there isn't anyone here saved, we just ask that You would bring conviction upon them that they might trust the Lord. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Go to Romans chapter 16. So this morning we talked about Satan isn't using the bars to deceive people. He's using the word wrongly divided. That's what he's using. And he uses it every day. In fact, I want you to see that it really has to do with words. And remember what we started out in Acts 17, verse 10, that, you know, we want to be more like the Bereans. Why? Because they listened to the Word of God with an open mind, and then they did what? That's right, we search the Scriptures daily. And so that concept really is what makes you a Berean. You should have your Bible open every day trying to learn doctrines that you might have been confused on. And if you need my telephone number, oh boy, call me. I'll try to answer the best I can. Okay? If you have questions on the internet or here, Renee, if you have a question, or Sterling, if you have a question, or Norm, Norm calls me or texts me, and now I'm getting better with him. Call me. I'm here to help. And if I can't answer it, I'll study it out and try to find the answer. But the thing is get the answer. Know what it is you believe it and why you believe it. And it doesn't matter to me whether it's baptism or who your apostle is or salvation or redemption or justification. Those doctrines, you need to get steadfast. What is it that you believe about them? What is it that you believe? And get where you can prove those beliefs to other people. Say, this is why I believe it. You know, most people, how many here, before they got saved or even before they came here, perhaps, people ask you, well, what do you believe about this? And you kind of, you just spurted out the vague thoughts that your preachers have been telling you. You know, that's not how the Word of God is designed. The Word of God is to say, chapter and verse, this is what I believe and why I believe it. And the more chapter and verses you have, the stronger your faith is. The stronger you grow as a Christian. People say, well, I want to be a really strong Christian. Then you got to go out and show people. People ask me all the time, how did I learn to preach the gospel the way I did? And the answer is very, very simple. I did the exact same thing Jim Berdow's done. I literally took my Bible and talked about everybody I could get my hands on. And the more I showed them, the more I learned to show them. And I got better at it and better at it. You know what? If you never show this truth, you're never going to get it down. You're never going to really, truly understand it. There is no possible way that you can put it in your intellect without getting some objections and going, hey, I got the answer to that. Let me show you in chapter and verse. Until you're tried, you don't know what you're made of. Listen to me. I've been weighed and I've been measured. And I used to come up wanting, but not anymore. I got the verses. And ain't nobody going to come and huff and puff and blow my house away. Neither my wife, or whoever. You understand? Because I have rooted and grounded myself and established myself in the truth that I know what it is I believe. I mean, you can ask me, say, Barry, what do you believe about the Lord's Supper? I could show you what I believe about the Lord's Supper. If you say, Brother Barry, what do you believe about baptism? Well, I could sit and show you right now what I believe on baptism. I do not have to go and study that subject out to go, oh, it's not that. I've been studying for 25 years. I have the answers. I've looked all the verses that are possible on baptism in the King James Bible at least 40 times. I know them. I can squirt them out of my mouth right now. And it's not because I'm so dadgum smart. Look at how smart you are. Bronx, I'm not calling on you anymore. Yeah, I got mad. I got reprimanded. I felt bad. And she was the only one I thought could answer that thing. And I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm in trouble. All right, this one's a tough one, but I want you to answer out loud. True or false? Who said true? Did you say true? Now, someone said false. That little girl got it right and you guys got it wrong. Was it William causing trouble? That's a true statement, is it? Does anybody need me to go over that? How long have you known that? Ever since you were about in the second grade. Now, some of you might have been geniuses like my wife and got it in the first grade. But by the second grade, if you don't have that down, we call you stupid. Set back and learn it again. You understand? Did you know it in the third grade? The fourth grade? Did you ever forget it? The same thing's true about Bible truth. Once you learn about baptism, you ought not to go, well, I need to, there's a test on it. I need to go study. Huh? I was always amazed at professional educators. We home educated and we went up to Virginia Beach where my sister was and they're kind of snooty up there. Professional educators. Now, I can't read very well. I was a spot reader. I was taught to see Jill run and run up a hill. And, you know, you kind of learn to repeat it. And I had such a good memory, I could memorize it without reading it. Y'all understand? But I was never taught phonetically how to sound out words. That's why I stumble. I've got a little dyslexia too. I mean, I'm bad. But with all my failings, I could teach a little kid how to read phonetics. And there was this little box called Sing, Spell, Read, and Write we bought, and it was the best book I'd ever thing. And you think me teaching them, I'd learn something along the way, but I guess it's drilled into me somehow so hard, it's very difficult. But my kids, especially Jamie, when she was 5 years old, could read on a fifth grade level. We had her tested. And this lady up north was putting us down like we were like dog turds, you know? I mean, lady, be nice to us. I mean, she was just, oh, I think parents that teach their children at home, that one, they don't have professional education. And I said, well, lady, and I was about to defend myself, and Dad said, well, hang on, the proof is in the pudding. And she literally picked up the Washington Post and read an article without missing one single word in it, and read it incredibly. And the late, at 5 years old, I'm talking at 5 years old, read every word in that, and that lady shut her mouth. Now, the point that I'm trying to tell you that is this, because I'm pretty dumb, you know, and I'm teaching you, go, gosh, we're being taught by a dummy. Yeah, the good news is my daughter could read on a fifth grade level when we got done. When we get done with you here, you will have an education in the Word of God and the doctrine of the Word of God so that you will know what it is you believe. You all understand? That's the point. The point isn't that I'm the greatest man that lives, although Brenda would probably tell you that. Isn't that true, honey? All right, that's good. I'll take a probably over a no or not bad, you know, that kind of thing. I appreciate that. anyway. So as we study, you've got to understand, you've got to get the doctrine down. Now, I don't know about you when you were in school, but how many times did you go over this equation, you think? Once? Did you go over it once? Now, Lisa's home educating her kids, or at least we think she is. We're pretty sure she is. We're not sure. We're waiting for the proof in the pudding, but we're going to put our kids to the test. Is that true or false?
Oh, that's true. I knew that before I even started school.
Okay. Wow, she's one of the ones better than the second graders. All right. What is that? 6 times 2 is what? 12. Then carry the 1, 112. No, it's fine. You did fine. Look, 112. It wasn't as easy for her. Why? She hasn't gone over this enough times yet. She's gone over that a lot. So people go, well, how do you get the Bible in you? The same exact way. You go over the subject. I hear preachers trying to always come up with something new in the pulpit to just, oh, wow, man, that, ooh, awesome, oh, man. No, wait until you get it down. I had Tony get up and preach on baptism. He didn't do too well, he tried. But you know what? He's going to get better at it.
You know why? You took all my notes away, and then you tore away, so you got me up there blind.
Hang on. The point is, no, that's a very important point. Does anybody here need any notes for this?
No.
Because you do what? No. You know it. You've got it down. Does any adult have any problem with this? No, because you've got it down now. How about if I did an... That gets a little more difficult, amen? And I could go into higher and higher algebra until the point that somebody would say, I don't get it. Y'all understand? How many in here, if I put a calculus program, can figure it out? Probably none of us, and there's been many of us in here that's gone to college, and some of us even have a master's, I think. Don't we have a master's? Aren't you a master? Don't you have a master's degree? Yeah. He's not a master yet. Man, boy, you know what? His wife is saying, I hope he gets to be a master pretty soon because I'm tired of leading him around. No, you get your master's, don't you? I thought there was a couple in here. Do you have your master's? Bronx, yes. Okay, anyone else got a master's? I didn't know. Okay. Even if I brought out a calculus program, a problem, you guys probably, as smart as you are, probably couldn't figure it out necessarily. Y'all understand? It is not necessary for your life that you know calculus. And you all understand, it may be important for Larry because he's an architect and he's got to figure out all those angles. Yeah. Okay, there you go. And so the point is that the 2 + 2, how often do you use that?
All the time.
And because you know it, it makes your life better. Same thing with learning Bible doctrine. The more Bible doctrine you have, the easier your life is because your faith isn't resting upon what you think, but what you know. Am I making any sense here? I am trying so hard to make this thing sensible. So, with that, I want to just kind of start with some thoughts here. Go to Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. And give some basics. Now, how many here could prove that Paul is their apostle? Huh? Okay. Give me a verse. Romans 11, 13. Romans 15, 16. Give me another one. What? 1 Timothy 2:7. 2 Timothy 1:11. Any others? How about following the Apostle Paul? Can anyone give me one on following the Apostle Paul? Acts 9, 15, 16, and 17. Okay, what else? Following the Apostle Paul. See, we haven't gone over that much. You got the 2 plus 2 down, now we're going to go 2 plus 5. What is that? Well, you've got to know that you're to follow the Apostle Paul. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 16. Philippians 3, verse 17.
Philippians
4, 9. And Romans, 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1.
1 Timothy
1, 16 would do that. So what am I telling you? That's 2 plus 7 or 2 plus 8. And you need to get that down. And you know how you do that? The more you show that to somebody, the more you're going to know it yourself. Y'all understand? The more you share it, the more you're going to know it. That's how it's going to work. Same thing's true with baptism. Now, you know what's amazing to me about baptism is people don't really get it. They do it. They've heard some truth on it, but they're fairly ignorant of it. Now, Sterling, you've been coming for, what, 6 months, 5 months? Can you explain to me the doctrine of baptism? It's hard, isn't it? Tony, can you give me a verse on baptism? Mac? Acts 2:38, so we got one. Terry? 1 Corinthians 12:13.
Mark 16:16.
See, they've been studying, so what? They're a little more advanced. I would expect a little more out of Mac and Terry and Larry than I would out of Sterling. Why? He's new. I didn't have it when I was new. It took me over a year and a half to get it down. But you know what? I got it down, and bless God, it's in my mind, and I don't have to wonder where to run and where to go and where to find it. I'll give you the chapters and verses. Y'all understand? It's not that I'm bright. Although I am a little bit, aren't I? No. I'm not bright at all. Someone sat down and showed me. I have the great honor of showing Sterling. I hope he gets it. Why? Man, if I was Sterling, I'd be taking notes because you know what? At work, I guarantee nobody's going to know what he's going to know after just a 15-minute little thing. And he'll go and show everybody at work. They'll go, hey, you're learning something at your church. I've been to church all my life and never got it. Jackie, isn't this good? Jackie's going to walk around and she's going to be able to say, hey, I can show you. If Hannah doesn't quit yawning, she's getting me yawning. I don't blame you. I put my kids to sleep too. Gosh, my kids used to crunk out. Poof. It was terrible. Say, Daddy, will you preach us to sleep? Matthew chapter 3. I appreciate y'all being here. If you want your kids to go to sleep on Christmas Eve and they're all excited about the holiday coming, just put on a Barry tape and it's like, okay, I'm sleepy now. Verse 1. Matthew 3, verse 1. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his paths straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Oh, it sounds like living in the wild. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the regions round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in the Jordan, confessing their sins. Now, what kind of baptism was Matthew chapter 3? Matthew 3 is water. Now, what do you know about this baptism? It was with repentance, right? They were repenting of something. And it was obviously a sign that they had repented. What else do you know about this? What? Well, they were confessing their sins. It had to do with repentance too, so I'll kind of mix those together. It was Israel. You know, it definitely had to do with Israel. Amen? Okay, what else about this one? Well, it is identification, but hold back off that for just a minute. What else did we know about it?
It was before Christ came.
It was before Christ even came. You all understand? The wall talk, I know. It was kind of, it's kind of scary, isn't it? Okay, what do we know? It was about repentance. It was to Israel. And it was before Christ. Were they following Christ in believers' baptism? Then water baptism doesn't necessarily mean to follow Jesus in believers' baptism, because these people were baptized before Christ ever showed up on the scene. Y'all with me? It would be impossible to follow someone whom they've never heard or never seen. You know, I had never heard that my whole life. I grew up in churches thinking that you had to do this in following of Christ. And that's what we're, that is what we're taught. But if we learn 2 + 5 = 2, then that would still be wrong. Amen? Even though we were taught that 2 + 5 = 2, isn't true, is it? Let's try this again. Is that true? If I kept teaching you and trying to convince you, would it still be true or false? It'd still be false. So that's exactly what churches do. They just keep teaching you and keep teaching you and keep teaching you, and you don't know all the parameters, so you accept it as true, and then when you buy into their false premises, all of a sudden everything's messed up. Y'all with me? That will never be true. This is true. That will never be true. It's a false truth. It's false.
The real answer is 7.
The real answer would be 7. That's correct. This baptism of John then tells me something about baptism. It doesn't necessarily have to do with following Jesus Christ. And so what does it have to do with, William? Identification. It is identifying people that have repented and looking forward to Jesus' coming. Now, that's the way it should be taught. Y'all understand? That's the correct doctrine of Matthew chapter 3 so far. Y'all with me? Now, there were some people showed up, and there was one other aspect to this baptism that you need to get. Verse 7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Then this baptism helped protect them from what? From the wrath. What do we know about the wrath? It was to come. It was not there then. Y'all with me so far? You're learning something about Matthew chapter 3. You're learning about John's baptism. You ought to be putting it in your file thing. What is it that you should be putting in your file thing? Well, it was before Jesus came. Amen. It was specifically for the nation of Israel. Amen. And the people that showed up was told, what have you, who has warned you to flee the wrath to come? Now that's some very important statements when you talk about baptism with your friends. Now, I can see that you guys probably have multiple conversations about baptism with all your dear friends. Okay, that was a little bit of a stretch of truth. You have had a conversation with your friends about baptism?
No, but I will.
No, you... Amen. That's what I like. Now, and then he warns them, verse 8, bring forth therefore fruit, meat for repentance, and think not to ourselves we have our within yourselves that we have Abraham to our fathers, for I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Now also the axe is laid upon the root of the tree. Therefore every, now listen to this, very important. Therefore every tree that which bringeth not forth good fruit is what? And cast into the fire. You think that would last? Man, you don't want to be hewn down and cast into the fire. Trust me on that one. And he's saying, look, don't worry about God. He can raise stones onto Abraham just because you have to repent and bring forth meat for repentance. And part of that was what? Being baptized by John. Can you imagine those Sadducees and those Pharisees getting down off their horses and saying, John, baptize me? Religion would have kept them from doing that. Don't you understand? Who said pride? Yeah, pride. Absolutely. Pride would have stopped them in their heartbeat. And so in the very first part of Matthew chapter 3, Christ isn't even on the scene. And yet John's able to call him to repentance, knowing that someone is coming after me, who he says, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. And look what he says. Verse 11. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. That's important, isn't it? But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear. And he, who's the he? The Lord Jesus Christ, shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, if you just stop reading there, remember the math figure that was wrong? If you just stop reading there, you can get really messed up. They could tell you any number here. You know what I'm saying? But if you read the next verse, you would know that that was definitely a seven. If you read the next verse, you would know that that was a seven. And all of a sudden, you would not be in the dark anymore. You'd be in the light. People want to go and preach all kinds of wild doctrines and stuff. You don't have to do that. Just relax. Get people to see Paul as their apostle. Get them to see what is really about baptism. Who are these people being identified with? The repentant nation of Israel. Because was everyone in Israel going to be in that? No. Were they being identified with the Pharisees and the Sadducees? No. Now, if I stopped right now, how many could preach Matthew chapter 3, 1 through 11? You could probably get me down to where it's pretty close to being truth. Amen? Especially if you took some notes. Especially if you wrote some of these things down, you can repeat this. Right? Amen? Anything else you see in the passage up to this point?
The kingdom is at hand.
The kingdom is at hand. That should be up there as well.
The Jewish kingdom.
The Jewish kingdom. The one that's been promised.
Not the Gentile kingdom.
Yes, that's true. Well, there was no Gentile kingdom outside of the ones rebelling against Israel. Like, you know, the Philistines and the Canaanites and those kind of people. All right, verse 11. Now watch. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. Is Jesus coming to baptize in water? No, he's going to baptize with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, the Pentecostal run and say, when you get the Holy Ghost, you get the fire. Ooh, fire. But let me tell you, if you read verse 12, you wouldn't want the fire in verse 11. And that's the problem. See, they stop you from reading, and we're not in, we ought to be investigators. We want to know our faith. You want to be able to share this faith. You know, when you're sitting down with your sister-in-law, brother-in-law and auntie and your uncle and all that, you ought not to be ignorant. You don't go to a church that's teaching ignorance. You're going to a church that teaches the doctrine. You ought to have that down, amen? Every day you ought to grow. Boy, I got something out of this. Anybody up this far gotten something out of this? How many would pay extra to have a little bit more? Anybody here would pay $10 more to get a little more? That's okay, I'm going to give it to you for free. Hang on. What'd you put in this morning?
A little more sugar.
Oh,
no sugar all
alone. Oh,
I'm feeling a little wheezy. Matthew chapter 3, verse 12. Whose fan is in his hand. Now that isn't a Bama fan. It's certainly not a Gator fan.
A biscuit fan.
It's not a biscuit fan. It's not a ceiling fan. You ready for this? It's a winnowing fan. What is a winnowing fan? Well, that's right. It's a big shovel. Kind of got little arches on it and a handle. And then there's holes in it so the air can flow. And you pick up wheat. Is that right? Is it two F's or FT? No, see, I left it so I could go one way or the other. It picks up the wheat and throws it in the air. Say, well, he doesn't even know how to spell shaft. Well, that's the problem, isn't it? Well, that guy's ignorant. I asked the guy who had a doctrine of divinity down the way. I won't tell you what church he went to, but it was a biggie. He thought there was only two baptisms. I can't spell shaft. Yep. But you only know that there's two baptisms. See, everybody can find fault with somebody. Amen?
Amen.
They pick up the wheat and they throw it. And as it bangs, it separates the chaff and the wheat. And when he throws it up the next time, the chaff that's broken away blows away little pieces of husk. And the husk is useless. It ain't no good. And so he's going to baptize some of Israel with what? The Holy Ghost. And some with what? And the ones that go in the Holy Ghost go into the kingdom, which is the what? The garner, right?
Right.
There's the garner. And the shaft gets burned up with what? Fire. So Israel is going to be divided in two groups. Those that get the wheat and those that become chaff. You got it? Jesus Christ is going to baptize. Watch this. Verse 11 again. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me, who's the he?
Christ.
Put the Lord Jesus Christ in your Bible so you know. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I'm not worthy to bear, and he, the Lord Jesus Christ, shall baptize you, who's the you?
Israel,
with the Holy Ghost, and with what?
Fire.
Whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, and gather the wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Bet you can find something about unquenchable fire in Revelation. Amen?
Isaiah.
You can go to Isaiah 13 verse 3. I don't know. I got Hosea 13:3, but you can find out about it in Isaiah 66, verse 24. What? Hosea 13:3. Yeah, that's... And Isaiah 66, verse 24. And Revelation... I'll have to go get that one. I can't remember. It's 20, I think. But I can't think of the verse. Revelation 20, there is no 19, but I will go with 14 and 15. They are going to be thrown into the lake of fire and burn how long? How long? Forever and ever. There is part of Israel that's going to go into the kingdom, and part of them are going to be burned up with what is Jesus Christ baptizing you with? Water? No. With what? The Holy Ghost and with fire. Any of those wet?
No.
Neither one of these are wet. Spiritual and spiritual. I heard a guy preach on a tape just the other day that said that there is no spiritual baptism. Well, he doesn't know his Bible. How do I know? Well, these aren't water. Right? And that's the baptism that Jesus Christ is going to do Himself. And if you don't have the Holy Ghost, guess what? You will get the... If you get the fire, you won't get the... You got it? How many baptisms is that so far in Matthew chapter 3? You guys are great students. Isn't that incredible? You guys are incredible. Now, you know what? Ain't nobody going to be able to fool you that there's only water baptism in this Bible. Amen? You going to ever be deceived again? Did you ever go to a church that they believed every baptism was water? Max, say yes or no. They can't hear you on the internet doing this. Period. How many here thought that at one time? Most of us. It isn't. You know, you look at the cup and they say, is it half full or half empty? I like to say, you are dumb, it's full. What? I've never heard that. That's because you have never heard the truth. It's half water, but it's got half air. You gotta pull that on your work people tomorrow. I can see Tony bringing that to his boss. Let me ask you a question, boss. Go down to Reinhardt down in Montgomery and fill up a glass so they can see the water and say, is that half empty or half full? Oh, come on, Tony. No, I would like to know. Why, it's half full. I'm very positive. How about if I told you that was 100% wrong? Tony be working for Oldsmobile. Oh, well, in that case, who's still in business? Do we know any? Ford is. I know Ford is. I see their commercials. You say it's 100% full. And that's the same thing you have to do with baptism. Say baptism isn't always what? Water. Let me show you. How can you show them? Renee, could you show them right now out of Matthew 3? Norm, how about you? Bronx? Larry? Alright. Let's keep going then. Now, let me ask a question. Who's the baptizer of these? Christ. And He's baptizing you into what? The Holy Ghost and fire. That is your... Now think about what baptism means to be identified with. Remember we kind of said that in Matthew chapter 3, the start of it, right? Identification. Well, what happens if you're identified with these people? You're saved, right? What happens if you're identified here? You're identified with the lost. You're identified. Now let's use the word submerge. Because, you know, you've got to wonder if it's sprinkling or submerged. The word baptism literally means to be overwhelmed. Overtaken. Completely, alright, so let's use that. If Christ takes you and baptizes you in the Holy Ghost, how much did you get? All of it. How about if he baptizes you in the water, in the fire? All of it. So you are submerged in either case. Y'all understand? You are completely overwhelmed, if you will. Just like in water, if I baptized you in water, you would be overwhelmed with the water, overtaken, completely filled. So it is with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Y'all with me? There's two more baptisms in the passage. Isn't this fascinating? I find this fascinating. Who's going to pay an extra $10 because we're going to go over? All right, Renee's going to put $10 more in the plate. You guys are safe for the next few minutes. Then she looks at Sterling and goes like this. Of course, I should have expected that. People always say they follow Jesus in believer's baptism. You got it? Let's see if you've ever seen anybody had this happen. Verse 13. Then came forth Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Now, baptism always represents, in most part, most churches teach that it's a washing away of your... Why would Jesus need baptizing if that was what it was for? Huh? You, well, like you heard that anywhere but here, you silly boy.
I mean,
come on. He did not need to be baptized to wash away sin. He's a priest. It has to do with a purification. It has to do with he's got to be purified as the high priest of God, and that's have to do with purification. But you don't know that unless you go and check all the words on purification in the Old Testament. He's becoming a priest. He's 30 years of age. He's just now capable of becoming a priest. When you get baptized, you will never be a priest. Yeah, amen, that's for sure. And so, John knows the truth about all this. Watch this. But John forbade him. Can you imagine? No. No, I'm not going to baptize you. You see, I need this baptism. I need this one, Lord. If I don't get that one, I'm in trouble. Now watch. But John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest to me? And Jesus answered and said unto him, suffer it to be so now. Now watch, this is it. You better underline this in your Bible. Get your Bible pen out. For thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness, and then he suffered him. Why? He had to do it for a couple reasons. One, he had to be identified with Israel, and he was going to be a high priest. Why were those other people getting water baptized? They were going to be priests too. Exodus 19, 5 and 6. You need to put that in your Bible right there. Exodus 19, 5, 6. I'll read it to you. Don't turn there for time. I'm just going to read it. You can go look, but put it in there and go look at it later today so you don't forget. 19:5. Now therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then shall you be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. These are the words that thou shalt speak unto the children of Israel. So why is Jesus Christ being to fulfill all righteousness? Let me ask a question. Do you know anybody who got baptized that fulfilled all righteousness? Man, listen, I had never fulfilled all righteousness. I want you to understand that I was made righteousness. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21. For he, that is God, made him to be sin for me, who knew no sin, that I might be made the righteousness of God. I was not fulfilling righteousness. I had to be made righteousness. You know why? There's none righteous, no, not one. There's not a just person upon the earth that doeth good and sinneth not. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. I was imputed righteousness, thank God. Now watch this. We're not quite done. We're getting close. Verse 16, and when Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the waters, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending upon him like a dove and lightning upon him. Did he get the baptism of the Holy Ghost? Probably. But he couldn't get it from himself. He got it from the Father. So Jesus Christ, in that passage, himself, personally, Jesus' baptism, he took of water, and it's apparent that he got the Holy Ghost. Y'all with me? How many baptisms are we up if we added them one at a time? Five. In Matthew chapter 3. And to say that there's one baptism, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, we're going to have to determine out of the list so far, which one? Well, none of these are for you. They're all for the nation of who?
Israel.
That's it. I got to show you one more before we quit. Is that okay? Huh? I want you to go to Luke chapter 12. Luke, I'm your father. Luke chapter 12. Y'all there? Never thought Sterling could have so much fun at church. He's paying extra just for the entertainment value. Y'all there? Luke chapter 12?
Yes.
Now watch very carefully. How many baptisms did Jesus take of? Water. And it looks like his Father gave him the Holy Ghost right then. Got it? Now he'd done miracles before. He may have had the Holy Spirit before. It just something happened there very unusual. Yes, he was water baptized. He came up out of the water, and then the heavens opened. I've never heard that. And by the way, the gospel of God was mentioned there. I didn't do that there, but that this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. But it said the Spirit descended upon him like a dove. That's another baptism, I think. May not be. I'm okay. If you say not, I'm okay. It just seems that it is. All right, Matthew chapter 3, verse 6, baptism of water unto repentance. Matthew chapter 3, verse 11, he shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. That's 3. Jesus' baptism in verse, what is it, 15 or 16? And then the Spirit at the end of that. That's 5. Now, Jesus had the Holy Ghost and with fire. And then, watch this. This is fascinating. Luke chapter 12, verse 49. Luke 12, verse 49. I am come to send fire on the earth. And what will I if it already be kindled? But I have a baptism to be baptized with. Well, he'd already been baptized in water.
Right.
And the Holy Ghost.
Right.
I have a baptism to be baptized with. How am I straightened till it be accomplished? Well, that baptism is yet future, and it's the baptism into death. Go to, this is good stuff, isn't it, Gloria? Romans chapter 6. Verse 3. Romans 6. Verse 3. Now, in Romans 6, verse 3, the Bible says this, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, and so when you start to teach the whole doctrine of into Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 12, 13 doesn't look like what someone might have heard the other night.
That's right.
See, one verse you can see teach anything. When you start to teach the doctrine, it starts to fade. You understand? So am I worried when someone teaches something incorrectly?
No,
because you know you teach it out completely, and if you're a fair teacher and you teach the doctrine out, the truth is going to come up.
That's right.
Watch this. as many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ, that's the baptism of 1 Corinthians 12:13, if you want to mark that in your Bible, were baptized into His what?
Death.
Jesus Christ became identified with death. He tasted death for what? Every man. He went in and basically stepped off the cross and submerged Himself into death. He descended into the lower parts of the earth and went to hell for every man. Jesus Christ went to hell for you. Do you know what happened? Up from the grave He arose! Man, praise the Lord. He came out of it with victory and set you free by the preaching of the cross through the Apostle Paul. Man, how powerful. Man, this ain't being taught. Why don't you go drag your friends here? Why don't you tell them you need to come hear this silly guy? He can't spell worth a toot. He can't hardly put you on the spot sometimes. He embarrasses you. But you know what? I've learned more Bible in that church than I've learned anywhere else. Amen?
Amen.
And you know what, guys? It isn't because I'm so smart. Thank God I had men like Brother E.C. Moore and Jerry Lockhart and Steve Atwood teach me. And you know what? I've studied and studied and studied what these men taught me. And after 25 years, I'm here to testify. I believe it's true. So, how many baptisms did Jesus take up? Well, I did follow Jesus in one baptism. See, when I was baptized into Christ, I was made partakers of His death. But you know what? That leaves water completely out of the one baptism of Ephesians chapter 4.
That's right.
See, guys, Paul would have never preached water baptism to put you in the body. It was impossible. The only one that could put you in the body was the one that put you in Christ, that put you in His death. And Paul said, being made conformable unto His death. Gosh, is this stuff good or what? Man, am I a good teacher or what? No, I'm just kidding. This is good stuff, isn't it? Oh, yeah, I can do that. And if you don't have it down, you know what? You are going to be deceived. Ain't no doubt about it. If you don't get it down, you will be deceived because you don't know it well enough for someone to set it. Boy, you ought to know at least those verses pretty well. Amen? And you know what I'd study on all week? I'd go over Matthew chapter 3. You know how many times I'd go over that chapter if I was you? 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 times. I'd read it, think about it. I'd read it, and I'd think about it. I'd read it and think about it. And then you know what I would do? Beep, 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 beep. Martha? Yeah. Yeah, this is Brenda. Listen, I've been studying this. Have you ever seen Matthew chapter 3? I've learned some things at church. It's a most amazing thing. Let me just show you what I've been taught. I was Norm? If I was Norm, I'd do this. Yeah, 10-4, big buddy. Yep. Got your ears on? Roger that. Hey, I've been studying this thing out of Matthew. Anybody here study Matthew? 10-4. Well, you know, I was looking at Matthew chapter 3. You have your Bible while you're driving down the road? Just put it out there on your steering wheel. John, are you there? John? John, is that you on your side? Why'd you get on your side? And I'd show somebody Matthew chapter 3. Because you know what? The truth makes you free. Doesn't set you free. Makes you free. And when you want to be set free, you take what is true and you go live with it. But until then, you're just made free. When you start sharing it, buddy, it's a whole new experience. All right, up to this point, anybody confused on baptism? How many baptisms did we go over? 6. 5 in Matthew and 1 in Luke chapter 12, confirmation of Romans 6. Everybody in here are smart enough. Now, how many times do you think it will take for you to get that totally down for me to preach? Sometimes 4 and 5 or 6 times before you get it all down. Don't try to get it down before you get it down. You may have 2 plus 5 is 2. You want to have 2 plus 5 is 7. All right? So I ran over a little bit.